manager, that Donald Trump prompted the Capitol attack through his comments in his speech. The lawsuit said Trump directly incited the violence at the Capitol that followed and then watched approvingly as the building was overrun, adding, "The horrific events of 6th of January 2021 were a direct and foreseeable consequence of the defendant's unlawful actions." Donald Trump's private schedule for that day indicated the former president was to travel directly from the White House to the Ellipse, speak at the Save America rally there, and then immediately return to the White House once his speech had concluded. The former president was running late on 6th of January, but the timestamp on the document reads 11:22 a.m. local time, roughly half an hour before he started to speak at the rally at 11:50 a.m. local time, meaning he must have known before he took to the stage that he was not going on to the Capitol. Donald Trump's promises are significant as they served as one of the primary motivations for his supporters to march to the Capitol alongside militia groups like the Oath Keepers, and were used by far-right activists like Alex Jones to encourage the crowd along the route. Indeed, testimony in federal prosecutions of rioters charged in connection to the Capitol attack suggests that Donald Trump's promises that he would walk with them to the Capitol was the proximate cause for them to also walk up to Congress before the march descended into a riot. An analysis of cell phone data published by the New York Times also reveals that many of Donald Trump's supporters who marched from the rally to the Capitol went down Pennsylvania Avenue, just as he has suggested, a more circuitous route than walking up the National Mall. According to a source familiar with the matter, crucially, Donald Trump made the false promises that led the crowd to go to the Capitol in spite of being told by the Secret Service days before the situation was too volatile for them to guarantee his security if he joined them. That raises the prospect that the former president encouraged his supporters to march to the Capitol on a promise he knew to be false, in the hope that the security situation he had been told was volatile would lead to some event that would stop Joe Biden's certification. But regardless of what he agreed with the Secret Service, his private schedule from just before the speech indicates that Donald Trump deliberately and repeatedly lied to the crowd about his intentions in a way that could leave him vulnerable to civil charges or even criminal charges. The former president's private schedule came as part of court filings submitted by the Select Committee seeking to challenge former Trump lawyer John Eastman's claim that thousands of emails demanded by the panel are protected by attorney-client privilege. The House Select Committee said in its filing that it believed the privilege asserted over the records were not applicable because of the so-called crime fraud exception, arguing Eastman was involved in potentially illegal efforts by Donald Trump to overturn the 2020 presidential election. Furthermore, the House Select Committee investigating the 6th of January Capitol attack has subpoenaed Kimberly Guilfoyle, the fiancée of Donald Trump's eldest son. House investigators issued the subpoena on Thursday, 3rd of March, after she had abruptly ended a voluntary interview with the panel recently. The chairman of the House Select Committee, Benny Thompson, said in the subpoena letter to Kimberly Guilfoyle that the panel was compelling her testimony because of her proximity to the former president, and the rally that preceded the Capitol attack on 6th of January 2021. Benny Thompson said the panel had been left with no choice but to force her cooperation. Benny Thompson said, "Because Ms. Guilfoyle backed out of her original commitment to provide a voluntary interview, we are issuing today's subpoena that will compel her to testify. We expect her to comply with the law and cooperate. Kimberly Guilfoyle met virtually with the panel for an interview recently, but cut off questioning when she learned that the Select Committee members Adam Schiff and Jamie Raskin, in addition to counsel, had joined the call. According to a source familiar with the interview, after news of her appearance was leaked to news outlets, Guilfoyle refused to continue, and her lawyer accused the Select Committee of trying to sandbag her and not keeping participants limited to committee counsel. Members of the House Select Committee are actively involved in the investigation and are almost always present at depositions. But Kimberly Guilfoyle's lawyer said in a statement that the panel sought to use her cooperation as a political weapon against Donald Trump. Joseph Tacopina, Kimberly Guilfoyle's lawyer, said in a statement that after she halted her interview, Ms. Guilfoyle, under threat of subpoena, agreed to meet exclusively with counsel for the Select Committee in a good faith effort to provide true and relevant evidence. Referring to the two congressmen, Adam Schiff and Jamie Raskin, Joseph Tacopina said, however, upon Ms. Guilfoyle's attendance, the committee revealed its untrustworthiness as members notorious for leaking information appeared. The lawyer for Kimberly Guilfoyle added that after he asked for a break to address the issue with House investigators, the Select Committee leaked a breakdown in proceedings to reporters. A spokesman for the Select Committee has denied Joseph Tacopina's claim. The House Select Committee did not address those complaints on Thursday, 3rd of March, but the subpoena authorization suggested the panel does not believe the matter precludes her from testifying about her contacts with Donald Trump and rally organizers on 6th of January. The panel additionally noted that it had earlier informed her legal team that members would be present in her interview and even offered to reschedule Kimberly Guilfoyle's interview, but she declined. The subpoena said Guilfoyle was notably present for an Oval Office meeting that morning when Donald Trump pressed the then Vice President Mike Pence to reject slates of electors for Joe Biden at the joint session of Congress and thus return him to power. House investigators added in the subpoena that they were also interested in Kimberly Guilfoyle's claim that she helped fund the Save America rally that preceded the Capitol attack, as well as discussions with Donald Trump about who spoke at the rally. The panel said Guilfoyle told at least one rally organizer that she had raised so much money for this, literally one of my donors, Julie, at $3 million, a reference to Julie Fancelli, who did in fact finance the event.
IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
The fasting of the month of Ramadan is an important pillar of
Islam. إنما سمي رمضان لأنه يرمض الذنوب.
Verily, the month of Ramadan has been thus named because it scorches away sins.
What does Maha Ramadan mean to us?
This is Dialogue, a program on the holy month of Ramadan and the importance of fasting.
Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, welcome to the program. This is Dialogue. We're talking about the blessed and holy month of Ramadan. The holy month of Ramadan, as you all know, is the blessed and honorable month when the doors of the Almighty Allah's mercy are open. It is the blessed month when forgiveness is easy to gain, but only if we take our steps in this direction. The holy month of Ramadan, the great month when the doors of hell are closed, a beautiful, a blessed, an honorable month, a month where we return towards the Almighty Allah. The holy month of Ramadan, a month where we gain our provisions for our journey towards the hereafter. The holy month of Ramadan, where we establish a connection with our loving, nurturing Lord, our Creator and Sustainer, Allah, exalted and glorified is He. The holy month of Ramadan, the greatest of months, the most honorable of months, this month in which we can return towards Allah, this month in which we can reconnect with Allah, this month in which we can gain the provisions for the hereafter, this, the holy month of Ramadan.
قال الإمام الصادق عليه السلام من وصيته لولده عند دخول شهر رمضان فاجهدوا أنفسكم فإن فيه تقسم الأرزاق وتكتب الآجال وفيه يكتب وفد الله الذين يفدون إليه وفيه ليلة العمل فيها خير من العمل في ألف شهر.
Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam, in his advice to his children heralding the advent of the month of Ramadan, said, "Exert yourselves in doing good deeds, for verily in this month sustenance is appointed, life spans are destined, the names of Allah's select servants who wish to strive towards Him are recorded down, and in this month is a night wherein the good deeds performed equal the deeds of a thousand of months."
Welcome back to your listeners. It's great to have you with us on the program. You're listening to Dialogue on IRIB English Radio, and we're talking about the holy month of Ramadan. Dear friends, dear fasters, in this holy month of Ramadan, this blessed and beautiful opportunity that the Almighty Allah has given us to create a new life for ourselves, to create a better life for ourselves, this holy month of Ramadan really passes by so very quickly. So please do your best to take full advantage of this divine opportunity that has been given to every single one of us. Now, dear friends, there are different levels of fasting. These levels of fasting, it is important for us to know them, because when we know these levels of fasting, then we can move ourselves from one level of fasting to the next level of fasting. We find in the traditions of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him and his holy household and the divinely appointed imams, where they say in the traditions that the fasting of the general population is that of abstaining, refraining from eating and drinking and relations with their spouses. And then they say that there is a more noble type of fasting, which is the second level or a higher level of fasting, that along with the abstinence and refraining from the items which breaks one's fast, it becomes necessary to also abstain and refrain from sin. So the first level is to refrain from those things which break the fast, such as eating and drinking and the various other things. The next higher level of fasting is, along with abstaining from these things, we abstain from sin as well. And finally, the third and highest level of fasting is for the noblest of the noble, and that is that you not only abstain from things which break your fast, and you not only abstain from committing sin, but you also empty your heart from everything but Allah. And so fasting can, if you try, and with the help of Allah, fasting can make people not only like angels, but even better than angels. This is Dialogue, the Holy Month of Ramadan.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.com.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
And now we invite you to listen to Sayyid Muhammad Ridvi.
Let me just talk about the purpose according to Quran when it comes to the issue of fasting. That basically when we go through this process of fasting for 29 or 30 days, it has less to do with the physical fitness or losing a few pounds at the end of the month. And it has everything to do with the issue of spiritual fitness. If you look at the ayat of Quran in Surah Baqarah, ayat number 183 to ayat number 187, this is the passage where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed the order as well as the rules about the basic rulings about fasting. It's very interesting to look at the first and the last ayat in that passage. The very first ayat basically is a command. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu kutiba alaykum as-siyam kama kutiba alal ladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. That this first ayat ends with these two words, la'allakum tattaqun. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, hopefully you will acquire taqwa. You know, awareness of Allah's, you know, conscience of Allah's presence in our life all the time. The last ayat, you know, ends by saying that tilka hududullah fala taqrabuha. The rules, you know, mentioned about fasting, these are the limits that Allah has put there. And do not violate them. Kadhalika yubayyinullah ayatihi linnas. This is how Allah explains his rulings to the people. And the passage now ends, that whole section, la'allahum yattaqoon. The first one ends with the words la'allakum tattaqoon. The last one ends with the words لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَّقُونَ. And this is where we see the emphasis is there in the beginning and the end, that the ultimate goal of fasting should be that we acquire taqwa.
Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Dialogue. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.com/en, Call of Islam page, where you can find all of our previous programs and many others as well. Until another episode, fi amanillah, and God bless you all.
Food for thought.
Salam, and let us begin the day by reflecting on a supplication in the Divine Course taught to us by Imam Ja'far Sadiq, peace upon him, the 16th infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. O Allah, Lord of the month of Ramadan and revealer of the Quran, this is the month of Ramadan in which you sent down the Quran and sent down in it manifest proofs of guidance and the criterion. O Allah, assist me to carry out its fasting and devotions. Deliver to us intact. Keep us sound and healthy during it, and receive it intact from us in ease and well-being from you.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
A startup in the U.S. state of California is turning science fiction into reality by sending tiny robots on a fantastic voyage inside humans to treat brain disorders. The smart cells are small enough to be injected and can be carefully guided through the brain using magnetic coils placed outside of the patient's skull. The coils are linked to a computer that can remotely maneuver the robots through delicate pathways into the affected part of the brain. The micro-robots are also removed by rewinding them through the same route. The developers at Bionaut Labs say these robots are extremely important when it comes to zero-failure-sensitive surgeries.
For localized conditions such as cancer tumors, stroke, atherosclerotic plaque buildup, localized pain, and many other conditions, there is a real need to have a microrobotic, precise, remote-controlled mechanism that can treat a condition only at a specific point and nowhere else.
The startup has already tested the robots on large animals. Inventors hope to use the robot to pierce fluid-filled cysts within the brain when clinical trials on humans begin in 2 years. If approved, they could offer key advantages over more invasive and dangerous treatments for brain disorders. Floating solar panels help landowners benefit from underused body of water. Now, a German company is covering 14,000 square meters of a lake with these panels, turning it into the biggest solar park in the country. The park is built by a family-owned company called Quartzwerk, which specializes in extracting and processing industrial minerals. The company says it wants to become independent of fossil energy sources amid rising energy prices. The head of the Floating Panel Corporation says they will be generating around 3 million kilowatts per hour of green electricity on the surfaces of Limmersheim Lake in southern Germany.
The
plant can make a super big contribution to the land-neutral energy transition, because here an unused lake that was previously used for gravel extraction is being converted into a power plant for renewable energy.
Installation and maintenance of the panels are easy and safe, while they also offer a significant reduction in evaporation from the water surface. According to the company, this will save around 1,100 tons of carbon dioxide each year.
A restaurant in the Indonesian capital of Jakarta is taking fine dining to new heights, literally and figuratively, by giving diners a one-of-a-kind experience 50 meters above ground. The restaurant is called Lounge in the Sky. Diners are securely strapped into seats fixed to a table and are hoisted into the air using a heavy-duty lift. First, the gourmet meals are prepared in the main kitchen. Then, the food is loaded onto the platform where the dishes are plated and served to the patrons. The suspended guests are able to take advantage of breathtaking views as they gently rotate at great heights.
At first, it was not easy. I was nervous that I wouldn't be able to swallow the food, let alone drink. But after some time, I could eventually eat. It was thrilling.
While enjoying the meals, the guests use seat belts and the accompanying staff are equipped with safety harnesses. The guests are also briefed on safety regulations before the platform is raised. Diners call the one-hour experience exhilarating and worth the high price. The project developers say the restaurant was aimed at reviving local and international tourism sector after a big slump during the COVID-19 pandemic. The culinary experience is a first in Indonesia and the third in the world after Belgium and Malaysia.
South Koreans are getting outside to enjoy the open air with a local cherry blossom festival in central Seoul. This is while the country has been dealing with an ongoing surge of the Omicron variant of COVID-19. With some performances and the beauty of spring, many people look forward to turning the corner on the pandemic. Frank Smith has a story.
Spring has come to South Korea, and the cherry blossoms are blooming. COVID-19 restrictions on gatherings are finally being eased, and at Ansan Park in central Seoul, a small festival is bringing everyone back out.
I first came here with my friends 4 years ago, but we couldn't come for the past 2 years because of COVID. I was impressed to see so many people no longer being overly careful about COVID, and we're also very happy to be able to attend festivals like this one.
South Koreans have been quite diligent in observing social distancing guidelines and wearing masks. The Omicron variant of COVID-19 has been quite severe here, with cases only recently declining below 200,000 per day. Still, the government's decided to open up. From the open-air stage, Noh Ah Ram and his band entertain a crowd that's anxious to finally get outside and enjoy group activities.
Ever since COVID, and particularly for the entirety of 2021, when the pandemic was at its peak, I have been unable to perform. I felt today was a restart. Spring has come, the weather's great, the blossoms beautiful, and I felt all of this was celebrating today's show.
South Korea's vaccination rate is nearly 90%, with children now getting the jab.
At first, I was very scared of COVID as I felt it was life-threatening. But now I feel okay with it because I consider it an experience and a certain reality. Also, I worry less because of the vaccines and the new medications.
The cherry blossom's blooming has been tracked from Jeju Island in the south and up to the capital as warm weather moved north. And with this change in seasons, attitudes toward life with COVID are changing as well. Frank Smith, Seoul.
The first all-private space crew has successfully docked at International Space Station after spending over 20 hours en route. Three paying customers and a former NASA astronaut will spend 10 days aboard the ISS. The tourists will participate in scientific research, including stem cell experiments and exploring how the body ages in space. The civilian crew were launched into space in a SpaceX rocket from the Kennedy Space Center on Friday. The trip was brokered by Axiom Space, which is the U.S.-based startup that coordinates rocket rides and provides necessary training. It's not the first time paying customers have visited the ISS. Russia sold seats on a Soyuz spacecraft last year. But this is the first mission that includes a crew entirely comprised of civilians.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
A new selfie museum in Sweden is flipping the script by making visitors both the artist and the exhibit. The establishment is dubbed the Museum and is in a shopping mall in Stockholm. Unlike other selfie museums, this one has no works of art on its walls. Instead, its brightly decorated rooms are meant to serve as fun backgrounds for visitors to take their selfies or shoot videos in. Other rooms let the visitors bury themselves in candy-colored foam bricks, strike a pose under neon lights, or sit on a huge colorful swing. The manager says the museum is interactive and lets the visitors be the artists themselves in order to create the art they want to see. The Drone Show Korea 2022 has been held at the Busan Exhibition and Convention Center, BEXCO. It featured 137 companies and 533 booths, making this year's incarnation the largest in the show's six-year history. The event also featured the participation of a large international industry representatives from Japan and Western Europe. A highlight of this year's event was military technology centered around the unveiling of new indigenous UAVs. This year's show marked a long-endurance liquid hydrogen drone produced by a South Korean company. These developments reflect South Korea's attempt to improve resilience and revolutionize its approach to warfare. The event puts on display the importance of drone industry in various spheres, including defense purposes. More than 163 wildlife species have been released back into lagoons and forests in Colombia's Casanare province after being seized and rehabilitated by authorities fighting wildlife trafficking. These include 15 different species such as anteaters, turtles, macaws, a toucan, and a leopard. They were nurtured back to health by fauna vets from an environmental authority in charge of managing sustainable development. The authority, Corporinoquia, released more than 1,200 animals back into the wild in 2021 alone. Colombia is one of the world's most biodiverse countries by square kilometer and is home to some 10% of the world's flora and fauna.
A super rare birth has added a cute member to critically endangered Sumatran rhinos of Indonesia.
The newborn calf is the sixth born since intensive efforts to breed the species began in the 1980s. The female calf, which doesn't have a name yet, was given birth to by a rhino named Rosa in a sanctuary. Rosa has suffered 8 miscarriages since 2005 when she was brought in from the wild for a breeding program. Fewer than 80 Sumatran rhinos remain in the world, mainly on the Indonesian islands of Sumatra and Borneo. Excessive poaching along with other threats has brought the species to the brink of extinction.
With neon lights on the floor and walls, pulsing electronic beats, and a glowing red shuttlecock bouncing back and forth, Malaysian badminton court evokes a sci-fi movie set. Shuttle in the Dark is a badminton hall in the iconic Petronas Twin Towers in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. It was set up in late 2021 by a sport management company to encourage people to take up the racket sport after 2 years of social restrictions because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Director of INIC Sport Management says the initial goal was to draw sports fans and players back into action.
Our initial goal was how can we encourage and gain back the interest of people to come back and play. And not only those enthusiasts, but then as well the new people who was not able to or never play badminton before. So that's why we come out with this experience called Shuttle in the Dark.
Playing on a futuristic court presents an unusual challenge for athletes as they have to adjust their eyes to the darkness to play. Badminton is one of the most popular sports in Malaysia and Asia, with a thriving community in the Southeast Asian community. It has produced some of the world's top-ranked players. A zoo in Ireland's capital, Dublin, has unveiled its newest habitat called the Himalayan Hills, a brand new home of the red panda and the snow leopard. Visitors are able to see the red panda's habitat by traveling along the new trail around a rocky edge to an open viewing area. The red pandas are typically climbing, exploring, or munching on bamboo at the top of broad-leafed evergreen trees. The expanded habitat was designed with a red panda's tree-dwelling lifestyle in mind. Also, visitors can gaze up at the 15-meter rocky slope through an impressive panoramic viewing area to spot the snow leopards. These elusive felines are typically nocturnal, so catching a glimpse of one is a rare treat.
Yeah, the animals are settling in well. We've tried to recreate the wild habitat in the Himalayan hills. Both species live quite high up. In case of the snow leopards, up to 5,000 meters on these very steep rocky slopes, which you can see here in the habitat as well. We've tried to use the topology of Dublin Zoo.
The project took a few years to complete. It was halted in 2020 due to the COVID-19 pandemic and massive budget shortages, but was restarted after government funding in 2021. The zoo is part of a protection project for red pandas and snow leopards. These animals are listed as vulnerable due to threats from poaching and severe habitat loss.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful.
Dear brothers and sisters, Salamu Alaikum. Welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. We're going to speak about the spring of the Quran, the month we are in.
الصوم أوشك يبتدي رمضان يا ضيف الورى قد زرتنا في الموعد كنا على جمر الغضا من واله ومفند رمضان يا ضيفا أتى يجلو لنا القلب الصدي.
Today, Friday, is the 13th of Ramadan, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 26th of Farvardin, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 15th of April, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We bless this moment of today's special by recitation of Chapter Ar-Rahman, Verses 12 to 16 from the Holy Quran.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم والحبذ العصف والريحان
And grain having husks and scented plants.
فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان
So which of the favors of your Lord would you deny?
خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ صَلْصَالٍ كَالْفَخَّارِ
He created man from clay like that of pottery.
وَخَلَقَ الْجَانَّ مِنْ مَارِجٍ مِنْ نَارٍ
And he created the jinn from a smokeless flame of fire.
فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ
So which of the favors of your Lord would you deny?
لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
How long did man stop at each of these stages? What were the factors leading to these transitional states? Our knowledge fails to uncover such secrets as the knowledge thereof rests with Allah. What is certain is that such expressions serve as telling tokens of a reality which is significantly linked to educational issues of mankind. The primeval mass-forming human body was the most unworthy and the lowliest of all matters to be found on the earth. But Allah Almighty created such a worthy creature out of such unworthy matter, such that man became the noblest of his creatures.
أشهر الرحمن فيك أنزل القرآن
The spring of the Holy Quran is the topic of this episode of today's special. The month of Ramadan has been aptly named the spring of the Quran. During this month, believers set aside more time than usual to understand the Word of Allah, to learn and ponder over its verses. Muslim homes and mosques ring with the beautiful recitation of this glorious book. It is the season of Quran reciting when the desire to learn and understand the Word of Allah blooms and flourishes, just as the natural world blossoms in the spring. The Holy Prophet of Islam said, "Invoke your Lord in right earnest, with hearts that are free of sin and evil, to enable you to fast and to recite his book, the Quran." Many Muslims like to complete the recitation of the entire Quran in this blessed month. If that is not possible, at least a portion of the holy book should be read during this month. The reward for it is much greater than in other months.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the Holy Quran in the month of Ramadan. The month of Ramadan is regarded as the spring of the Holy Quran, Rabi'ul Quran. The month of Ramadan is the month in which the Holy Quran was revealed unto the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam on one of the eves of decree, Laylatul Qadr, in its entirety. This phenomenon isn't in contradistinction with the gradual revelation of the Holy Quran unto the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, according to various situations in which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam needed divine guidance or divine revelation. In order to make an analogy for our listeners and audience, it must be indicated that, for example, a teacher may give a textbook in its entirety to his student, but throughout the whole academic year, he teaches this book to the student, piece by piece or lesson by lesson. This isn't in contradistinction. These two phenomena are never in contradistinction with one another. As the Holy Quran was revealed unto the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was revealed in its entirety unto the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the month of Ramadan, and since reciting the Holy Quran is a very meritorious job to be practiced in the month of Ramadan, we find that the month of Ramadan is regarded as the spring of Ramadan. We find that the season spring is the season of natural revival and the natural upbringing and upbringing a new growth anew. Because of this, we find that the month of Ramadan is regarded as such simply because it's highly recommended to recite the Holy Quran in the month of Ramadan. Here it must be indicated that even for those people who may not be able to appreciate the meanings of the Quranic words in Arabic or may need translation, still reciting the Holy Quran in the month of Ramadan is very meritorious for them. And because of this, we find that we can hardly find any Muslim community in which people may not be able to recite the Holy Quran in its Arabic original. Thank you.
Ramadan, ya Ramadan, ya nafhata ar-Rahman. Ramadan, ya Ramadan, shahru judin wa ghufran. Ramadan, ya Ramadan, ya nafhata ar-Rahman. رمضان يا رمضان شهر جود وغفران.
Recitation of the Holy Quran has many benefits, and now we want to mention two benefits. The hadith illustrates some of these benefits. Illuminate your homes by reciting the Quran. For if the Holy Quran is recited frequently in a house, it brings blessings for the family, and the house will give light to those in heaven as the stars of heaven give light to those on the earth. The Holy Prophet of Islam, peace and salutations of Allah be upon him and his pure progeny, says, "The heart gathers rust like iron. Remove this rust by the recitation of the Holy Quran." On the continuation of today's special, we reach to understanding the Holy Quran. It is important that believers try to understand what Allah has revealed in the Holy Quran. It is a book of guidance, and to derive and act upon this guidance, we need to read and understand its verses. The fourth Imam, Imam Sajjad, peace be upon him, says, "The Quranic verses are treasures of knowledge, and whenever a treasure is opened, you have to see what lies therein." Understanding the Quran could be done through reading the translation, thinking about the words used in the verse, the causes of revelation, and reading and discussing the commentary provided by knowledgeable scholars. Understanding and pondering over the verses of the Holy Quran is an important duty of all Muslims. Allah talks to us through the Quran, and we need to read and understand what He says in it. Many Muslims believe that understanding the Quran is the duty of scholars, and they are content to just recite the verses without giving them much thought. The Holy Prophet will complain about such Muslims on the Day of Judgment.
We have to think of our greater family. You have a small, your small circle, your family, your relatives, and you also have humanity. You have people who are suffering, people who are in need, people who are hungry. The month of Ramadan is a time to check up on them. The month of Ramadan is a time to check up on your neighbors. The month of Ramadan is a time to see who's in need, any Muslim or non-Muslim, whoever it is, if they are in need. We have to be there for them. This is the whole purpose of the month of Ramadan. This is the whole purpose of fasting. Why do we feel hungry? Rasulullah says in his khutbah welcoming the month of Ramadan, he says, وَتَذَكَّرُوا بِجُوعِكُمْ وَعَطَشِكُمْ جُوعَ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ وَعَطَشِهِ. First, remember with your hunger and your thirst, the hunger and the thirst on the Day of Judgment. This is the second. And then immediately he says, وَتَصَدَّقُوا عَلَى فُقَرَاءِ النَّاسِ. What does that mean? That means when you're hungry, you're going to be reminded of the hunger of other people. You're going to be reminded of people who have no food, no water, they have no resources. And then that may change our lives. And if we change our lives, then we have reached the state of taqwa.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special. Thank you very much for joining us. Keep and remember us too in your prayers and worshiping. Thank you very much, and fi amanillah.
القرآن ظمآن ظمآن لوصالك يا رمضان للتوبة
في الأفق يلوح باب الجنة مفتوح لا يروي عطش الروح إلا باب الريان نور في الأفق يلوح باب الجنة مفتوح لا يروي عطش الروح إلا باب الريان ظمآن ظمآن لوصالك يا رمضان للتوبة والغفران ومجالسة القرآن.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.